now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays podcast. My name is Zach. His name is Pat. And that was maybe the most disgusting, like, end of a game that I just felt bad, man. Like, it just didn't feel good. Like, it wasn't even that, like, the calls weren't even that egregious. It just felt terrible. I don't know. It was a disgusting recap on a disgusting week of Rays baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, a game that felt like it was designed to rage bait the fans. Yeah. Just bad fundamentals. Stuff like not catching a ball that's thrown right at you that cost you two runs. Stuff like the umpire calling strike three on ball four that would have brought the tying run to the plate. Yep. Stuff like Clevinger seeing Otto Lopez swing and miss wildly at two sliders down and in and deciding to then go to a fastball down the middle, which resulted in an RBI triple. It just felt like everything decided to just conspire against the Rays. And sometimes it was the Rays themselves that were doing that. And it was just like everything on the margins wasn't going our way in that game. I mean, I don't know how much you trust XBA. I don't that much. But if it wants to give you kind of an impression of how like things were not going the Rays' way, the Rays had six hits on an X batting average of 280, and the Marlins had five hits on a XBA of 190.
I think it just goes to show you that winning baseball games is hard at the major league level because you have guys with major league sprint speed, guys that swing the ball or swing the bat at major league speeds and hit it at major league exit velocities. And when you do that in a major league baseball stadium with major league pressure, sometimes you make dumb mistakes or you just get unlucky. And that is part of baseball. And we went through a stretch of unbelievably amazing play that the Rays had put together really from the beginning, really after maybe the first like week of the season until now. They were just fantastic. And they were all, this was always going to happen. It just feels bad because this was a stretch that we thought the Rays were going to be able to take advantage of a little bit. We thought that this was going to be a stretch where they're going to be able to pad their lead. And instead, barring a great comeback from Boston, which is live right now, it looks like the Rays and Yankees are going to pull level, which, you know, considering how poorly the Rays have played, the fact that we're still only level with the Yankees, you know, we'll take that where we can get it. But
if you want to copium it, we'll technically be ahead on head-to-head record.
That's correct. That is correct.
So the Yankees have got to be actively above us to be above us in the early as it stands. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like the past 2 weeks, Orioles, Angels, Tigers, Marlins, they are all teams that are to be considered struggling. And to go 3-9 against those teams, that's tough. That was kind of unfathomable 2 weeks ago. It's been a real bad stretch of baseball. Was bound to happen. And every team is going to go through a two-week stretch where they look really bad. But the key thing for the Rays is they got to kind of resolve this sooner rather than later if they want a shot of the division. I think playoffs were still kind of fine. But if you want a shot at the division, you kind of got to sort this out pretty quick.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to break down what has happened, talk through exactly what is causing the issues the Rays have faced over the last 2 weeks. We're going to break down what the Rays could be doing differently, if anything. What could Kevin Cash, maybe is there different strings he could pull to get some better results? We're going to talk about all that here today. Lots to talk about, unfortunately. But if you have thoughts, and I know if you're watching this show and you just watch those games, I'm sure you do, drop them over on YouTube in the comment section. We'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love for your thoughts to be a part of the show as well. While you're over there, if this is your first time watching us, we thank you for doing that. But if you've come and seen us before, make a double check that you are subscribed or following us on whatever platform you enjoy the show on, just so that you know whenever we go live and know when you can be part of the conversation. But let's dive right into it. I should have thought better of it. But in the last show that we did, I made some comments about how, hey, I thought we were going into a stretch of some winnable baseball games, starting with this Orioles series. And unfortunately, the Rays averaged 9 runs given up over the course of the Orioles series. And that's kind of all you really need to know. We just got in the first game, we made a game of it, made an attempt to get back into it, but the last two just never really had a chance.
Oh, that first game of the series, oh, it made me want to smack my head off of a wall. We blew a lead 1, 2, 3, 4 times, three of which happened in extra innings. When you score multiple runs in an extra inning at the top half, you're in a favorable position. And then the bullpen would just blow it every time, every single time. Mesa put us up in the 11th with that home run. That was great. And then we decided to give that right back up. And then we had a weird play in the bottom of the 12th to lose our lead there. If you remember, there was like a home plate collision going on there. And basically it was like this close and they challenged it at home plate and they managed to get us out. And then we then go up 2 in the top of the 13th to then immediately just double sac fly home run. It was awful. It was one of the most infuriating games I've ever watched. The bullpen just refused to hold the lead. And that was the most notable. After that, Jax got bombed and Shane Baz continued to pitch well against us, revenge time. And then Steven Matz got shelled, something that became frequent over the past 2 weeks. Matz, we'll have to have an uncomfortable conversation about him in a minute, I think.
Yeah, and the beginning of this, I had some issues with the way that, because again, remember, right before this, it was the Yankees series. And I had some issues with the way the bullpen was deployed in that last game. I thought Clevinger should have been used. He was not used. Similarly, in that next game, there was multiple opportunities to get Clevinger in the game to try to close it out, and he wasn't used. Only to then have to come in for a couple of innings the next day when Jax couldn't figure it out. And it was very confusing. So that added to my frustration to begin that whole thing. And we're going to talk about this with Jax, because this happened again, basically, in his next outing. But he is clearly going through the growing pains of moving from reliever to starter right now. And I think because the Rays have done this so well with their past two examples of Rasmussen and Littell, I think we are used to that being a very smooth process. But there are growing pains, whether it's the regularity of the pitching is now something where instead of pitching maybe once every couple of days, now it's on a schedule and then he's pitching longer. There's a lot of things that are happening there. And so some level of, bumpiness is expected. He had looked pretty good before that. I think if there is another bad start in a row, that is the point at which I would start to say, this is concerning. I'm not overly concerned yet, but I think if we get another bad start in a row, I will start to become a little bit more concerned about Jax.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had a good one today, I would argue, but we'll move past that with, because he did have a good start today. It wasn't his fault we lost today. He went 5.
You're not wrong about that.
Yeah, I think it was maybe his best start as a Ray. Maybe. So hopefully,
Another start earlier in the year that was a little bit better. But I mean, he didn't give up any runs. I had honestly the game made me so mad. I totally forgot Jax started the game today, for being totally honest. I'm not that worried about Jax.
Me neither. Matz, I am, though. So then we go on to the Angels series, where we actually turn it around a little bit. We win 8-5 in the first game of the series, and that's pretty good. That goes all right. it was mainly down to a huge seventh inning that we had, where we ended up scoring seven runs in that inning, seven in the seventh. I mean, I think Diaz and Aranda went back to back in that game. That was pretty fun. And that kind of made up for a so-so start from Nick Martinez. Then we lost 14-3. For some reason, Drew Rasmussen absolutely just did not have it from like moment one and got pretty badly beat up.
Grand slam in the first inning. Not great.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know what? Then, do you know what makes things worse? We give up seven runs in the top of the ninth.
Yeah. I mean, and like, again, like some of these games that we've played over the last 2 weeks, they are putting in guys like Legumina, who, you know, this is not intended to be shade towards him, but he's not going to be in the bullpen in a postseason series. And so there are, I mean, you know, most likely. And so there is an element of like they're, you know, trying to win the game is not necessarily what's going on in some of the later innings of these games. It's more about trying to conserve the bullpen usage of some of the other guys in the pen that we deem more valuable. So there are some situations where runs are being given up that I'm not like overly concerned about, but it doesn't make it any less ugly and deeply unfun to watch.
Yeah. I think it was once that started that ninth inning and gave up five of the seven. So who even is that? Who is Andrew Wants? And then we won the rubber game, and that was good because I think that was a tough game, but we did well enough to get through it. I think someone got robbed of a grand slam in that game, in that rubber
game. Jose Siri robbed, yeah.
Yeah, he robbed Taylor Walls, didn't he?
He did.
That would have been Walls' first home run of the year as well. That's a gutter for him. But we won anyway. A nice start from Shane McClanahan. Bullpen looked good. Like a kind of nice routine win, I would say.
Yeah.
And then we were like, okay, we got swept on the Orioles, but we got back on the horse. Took two out of three from the Angels.
Yeah.
Then Detroit came in.
Yeah. And honestly, like that Detroit series was maybe the hardest series to watch, I would say, so far. Honestly, the Baltimore series, at least the first game, like, I felt like we had multiple chances to win and we just didn't quite get it done. And we had some, you know, questionable bullpen decisions or whatever. This series just was like, I don't know, man. This was a tough series.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like the Rays passed the controller to their three-year-old brother to start the game. And then we're like, okay, we'll try and lock in now that we've given the other team like a massive advantage. I mean, at one point we were down like 8-2 in the first game of the series. And then we made it a game, brought it back to 10-9. I think we almost came back and got that, but then just couldn't quite finish up. And then you go, oh man, if only we gave up 9 runs or 8 runs in that game instead of 10. Those are the ones that kill you, because the Rays don't give up 10 that often, apart from in the past couple of weeks.
And I think that's also what has been most jarring about the way that the Rays are losing these games. It's when we've seen the Rays go on runs of losing before, it's usually like the kind of games we honestly saw in the Marlins series where, you know, the pitching is pretty good, maybe not amazing, but like pretty decent, but the bats just can't get going. But to see them give up give up as many runs as they have over these series. And again, like the guys that gave up the runs in that Detroit game, you know, Jax, Trevor Martin was somebody that, you know, like that's somebody that we made a move to get and were, you know, he's been hurt, so we haven't seen him very much, but he's somebody that the Rays were wanting to get into the bullpen. And then Sulcer. Like that's who was giving up those runs. That's what I think was the most concerning part of it, was that specifically in that Detroit series, there was multiple times where the games were lost, not by like, you know, somebody who like Wants, for example, or someone else who we don't expect to stick around, but guys that like, no, these are probably the guys. And so that's why I think the Detroit series was a little bit more concerning.
Yeah, that first game was a slugfest, but after that, we were just getting dominated. Like, Mats got shelled in game two.
Yeah.
And we got dog walked by Jack Flaherty, by the way, yeah, in that game, who has been really bad all season. And then he throws five shuddy on us. And then Troy Melton as well turns up. I think it was only his like second or third major league start. And he goes eight innings on us. It was just like domination from start to finish. And like the Tigers, like if this was the Tigers of last year, we'd hold our hands up and go, okay, Tigers are a good team. This can happen. But this has been a Tigers team that's been really struggling and has often been, you know, touted to sell at the trade deadline, like Scooble on the market. And we just get absolutely rinsed at home, where we've played really well all season.
And Scooble wasn't even on the team for this series. No. Not only did he not pitch, he wasn't even in the clubhouse. It just started a rehab start just today. And like literally to the point, and like, it's been so funny to see this discourse, right? There, people are saying that because the Tigers swept the Rays, now they're thinking of not moving Scooble because they feel like, oh, hey, maybe we can. So it's like, did we just cost ourselves a chance at Tariq Scooble? Like, I don't actually believe that, but I think it'd be really funny if that was the case.
I mean, the Tigers are still 10.5 games out of the division, 5.5 games out of the wild card spot. So like, they got some work to do if they want to be considered buyers. They're still tied for last in the bottom of the division, and 26-39. It's been their only good series that they've played all year.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because of course.
Yeah, and then that kind of leads us into the Marlins series, which we kind of thought, okay, first game of the Marlins series. Drew Rasmussen throws an absolute gem, pure domination. We score six runs, and I'm like, okay, maybe we've like, you know, we had the bad Baltimore series, we had the bad Detroit series, but we did win the Angels series in the middle of that. And so like, maybe this is, you know, we've kind of always dominated the Marlins. So like, maybe this is was exactly what we needed. We turned it around from that game on, and then we didn't.
No, again, it was more on the offense this one than the pitching. Yeah. The Rays decided to just not show up until the eighth inning to get going. And then they almost stole one again, really brought it back to 4-3. I think if Junior hits that ground ball a little bit one direction or the other, because he slaps it the other way, but unfortunately it was right at the first baseman. But if it was he hit it hard. If it was just a little bit not at the first baseman, that would have snuck through, and we probably two more runs would have scored, and we would have won that game, I think. But that you can't wait until the eighth inning to try and come back from a 4-0 deficit. It's not a sustainable way to win ball games. And then today we've talked about already. I mean, again, lots of hard hit balls by the Rays today, but they were either right at guys. And then when it came to like pitching in the big moments, in fact, the pitching did its job. The defense in the big moments couldn't pull it together. The ump was a mess. It's been bad. Like, the key thing is how quickly can they pull themselves together for me? Yeah. That's the main thing. And there's a couple of solutions. The Rays are trying to be proactive. First of all, they've moved Steven Matz to the bullpen. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of factors here. Matz has not pitched a full workload in the majors in a while. So this may have always been coming. This may have been something that was always going to happen eventually, is that they were going to like really tamp down his innings. But I do wonder if his performance kind of made that decision easier for them to be like, yeah, you know what? Why don't you just go ahead and head on over there now, and let's just go ahead and get a jump on that. And the we are in a situation now where I don't like, we're really starting to feel the Pepio injury at this point. Like, it's really starting to hurt. The Joe Boyle injury is really starting to hurt now. Like, there's some, I don't really
Jesse
know.
Jesse Schultz we're missing right now.
Genuinely, he had been really good in most of his starts. So we are, you know, we're starting to get a little thin at starting pitcher. And so I don't necessarily hate the move to move him to the bullpen based on his performance, but we're kind of running out of dudes right now.
Yeah, we are running out of dudes. We need a innings eater. If we're going to be looking at the deadline, lots of people are saying get a bat. No, I think we need an innings eater starter. Someone yeah. like someone like Sandy Alcantara that we just yeah. faced today. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be a Scooble. It doesn't have to be that kind of guy. But an Alcantara or, you know, someone like, I don't know, who else is like a good, solid major league starter that will just, you know, give you six or seven innings reliably, come rain or shine. Someone of that ilk. Yeah, yeah, it's a struggle. And Matt has really let me down because Matt is not a stuff guy. Okay, the Rays don't really care about stuff anymore. I think they care about command more than anything. And Matt's command over this past month has absolutely deserted him.
Yeah,
he is really heavy sinker changeup mix. That's his two main. Almost 80% of his pitches are the sinker or the changeup. He'll occasionally throw a slider or a curve to lefties. And the problem is his sinker is completely out of whack.
Yeah.
He cannot get his fastball to kind of go where it needs to be. And if you can't get your fastball right, then people can sit on your changeup. And if you haven't to throw a changeup for strikes and people are ready for it, it's so hittable.
And it's a good changeup. Like he had some really nice outings earlier in the year when he was locating the sinker, when he was locating the sort of the fast pitch and working the changeup off of it, made for some really strong pitch sequences that we were seeing from him early in the year. But it just goes to show that how much command does matter, because once you start having to throw pitches that you don't want to be throwing for strikes and you allow hitters to feel the rhythm and you become predictable, unless your stuff is so good that it just doesn't matter. And there's just not that many of those guys out there, honestly. And Matt's is not that guy at this point in his career. He has to rely on that command. And so my hope would be that moving him to the bullpen allows him to focus more on really locking in that command for the limited times we get him, as opposed to having to, you know, sort of manage that over the course of a game. And it will also, you know, if he can't get his command, minimize his impact because they can just get him out of there. Without feeling that. But in the short term, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Rays decide to handle filling his innings.
I would say the number one candidate right now is Mason Englert, just back from injury.
Who they had talked about moving to starters before, but then he got hurt.
Yeah, so he could probably do it. But again, he's going to probably need stretched out a little. Like, don't expect him to go five in his first game back. He's probably going to go three or four. So depending on how efficient he can be, one, maybe two times through the lineup. But yeah, he's probably the best guy. The Rays love changeups, and he's got a good changeup. So they'll probably lean on him. Joe Boyle's back throwing in AAA, I think. So he could also be a candidate to come up. So just watch that space. But I think Englert's going to get the first run at it. But again, we're running out of guys that, apart from like Rasmussen, we're running out of, and maybe Nick Martinez, we're running out of guys who could reliably go over five innings.
Yeah. Because Shane's good for a strong five most of the time. And occasionally he will work into the sixth. But that's about it. And I do think the bullpen is dealing with lots of injuries as well. And we're just feeling it. I think that's the reality. When you look at the way that these games have gone, that we are feeling the attrition of a 162 game season. We're feeling that right now. And like, sometimes you feel that in August, sometimes you feel it in July. We just so happen to be feeling it right now in June. And, you know, the hope will be that guys can get healthy now and the strain, the innings, you know, the fact that they're going to be, you know, required to pitch less innings now because of the injury, hopefully that is something that ends up benefiting in the long run. But in the short term, as we're watching these games, it's just very obvious that there's just not that many strings for Kevin Cash to pull right now.
Yeah. I mean, none of these pitches are due back particularly fast either. The closest we've probably got is Kimbrel. He's expected to serve the minimum time.
I'm pretty sure that happened in between our last podcast episode as well. We have Craig Kimbrell's on the Rays, by the way. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, we signed Craig Kimbrell. He turned up, pitched a really good-looking inning,
really,
by the way.
Really solid. It looked great, actually.
Pitched an inning, struck out two guys, otherwise a clean inning, and then immediately went on the IL.
You can't make it up.
He's apparently expected to serve the minimum, and which is actually a week today, I believe.
Yeah.
He's out, going to be out for another week. But he is apparently, he's already throwing bullpens, so he should be back soon. And that adds a bit of oomph to the bullpen, particularly in the mid to late innings. Especially if he looks as good as he did, in his debut.
Yeah, he looked really good.
Yeah. He's the closest back, but otherwise it's looking a bit like Jonathan Heasley, who came up, had a bad outing, threw up, and then left. That's on the Major League IL.
Unfortunate.
Usada's still a doubt for the, like, we don't
Usada
know.
Might be not coming. Like, that's kind of another update that sort of has happened. He kind of hit another setback in his in his rehab process, and it's not looking great. It's started the way that it's being talked about. Like, they're still saying, you know, we'll shut him down for a couple of weeks, check back in. But the way that it's being talked about and the vibe that we're getting from some of the other, you know, Rays insiders like Ryan Bash or some other folks, I'm not even sure if it was him that said that, but I've just heard that from other folks who are plugged into the Rays, that it's just not looking good.
Yeah. Yeah. Emrod could return maybe around All-Star break, people are saying.
He is ahead of schedule. He is looking, we're cautiously optimistic about that. Because sometimes I feel like we see guys, like, you know, get all ramped back up again, and they look, they're going to be way ahead of schedule, then they end up having another setback. So we'll be cautiously optimistic about that. But hopefully that is something that we see, because could we use Emrod right now? Man, would that be nice.
Steven Wilson, positive update on him as well. We signed him and he got injured in spring. He's expected to be a decent kind of right-handed slider heavy reliever. He is expected to throw a bullpen tomorrow, so he's on the road to recovery. We've talked a lot about pitching injuries, but I want to talk a little bit about Johnny DeLuca's injury. I think we're feeling that.
I agree with that as well. I think between Johnny DeLuca and Jake Fraley both being injured right now, it is forcing guys like Victor Mesa Jr., who Victor Mesa Jr. is a guy that, you know, has some potential in this league, but he shouldn't be playing right now at the major league level. And Johnny DeLuca felt like he was finally getting that run that we've always talked about and was looking really good. And to see him get hurt again, just, man, that was hard to watch.
And it's going to be a while. I think they're saying 6 to 8 weeks. And that's before he even goes on his rehab. So
we're similar to Judge, like, it's one of those where they have to reevaluate after that time period. And then if he looks great, then he can start to rehab. But I mean, if anything looks bad, then we're in a tough spot right now. We are relying on guys who we did not envision relying on. Which I feel like we have said this a couple of times over the past like 4 or 5 seasons with the Rays. We've just had some really tough injury luck for a couple of years now.
And for me, DeLuca, the thing we're missing, one, he provides plus-plus defense.
Yes.
And a Stimpson, Mullins, DeLuca outfield is like really good defensively, I think.
Yeah.
But without him, Mesa's like so-so. Valade's like so-so in the field. But the main thing that I think we're missing is the speed and athleticism that DeLuca provides.
Yeah.
And that the lineup that we have right now is meant to be built on singles and small ball. Without DeLuca and having to play Valade more, and with Simpson struggling, it means that we can't do that as much.
Well, and
that means the lineup's playing in a way that it's not optimized to do.
Yeah, and Mace is honestly a little bit more of a power guy than a singles doubles. Like, he's kind of like, he wants to hit for power. And so you stick Valade and Mesa Jr. both in there.
It's not speed and contact. That's not the play with those guys.
Right. And that was, you know, with Fraley, with DeLuca, with Simpson when he was going well. You felt like they had a really strong identity. And then that's where even guys like Taylor Walls could get involved because they could do that. When everybody's playing that style, and then you kind of boomerang it back around to your power core in the middle there who are really good at it, then you can really do some things. But instead now you're not only are you relying on guys like Filet and Mesa more, you're also exposing them more and allowing pitchers to get a bead on them more and giving them more opportunities to figure them out. And that's where you start to run into trouble. And I mean, you know, Filet has still been pretty solid overall. So I'm not too worried about him. But again, like Mesa Jr. is just not, he's just that this is, he should not be up right now and playing. It is what it is. And that's where, like, kind of moving into what can the Rays do differently here. The part that's tough right now is there's a whole lot different that the Rays can do differently right now. You know, I mean, I like moving Chandler out of leadoff. I think, you know, trying to re-inject that speed in the middle of the lineup when he can get on base and allowing sort of the power guys and the, you know, your best hitters to be in the top of your lineup. I don't mind that at all. I like Yandy leading off into Aranda into Caminero, but that does kind of end up leaving Junior exposed a little bit. Cause then now you're talking about, you know, is Valade hitting after him? Is Mullins hitting after him? And that's just not the same type of lineup protection that you would get if you were hitting him like in front of Yandy, for example, or in front of Aranda, right, for example. And so there's not a whole bunch of, like I said, I keep saying this, I don't know how many levers there really are for cash to pull right now.
There's some sideways steps. For example, you could trade out Mesa for someone like Austin Slater, who's been playing quite well in AAA.
Yeah.
Who, again, I don't think is a huge needle mover, but he's a different guy to try out because Mesa's not cutting it right now. But that's, again, it's not like it's a sideways step as opposed to a step forwards or backwards. It's a like shuffle the deck, see if a different guy can give you something. But again, if you don't work out, you don't go, well, of course it wasn't. You kind of go, yeah, maybe. Like, these things may or may not work out. Same with, I think, the catching situation. I think Fiducia is not good enough. But again, like, Dominic Keegan, is he ready? Probably not. Like, Blake Sable has been doing all right down there. Like, again, sideways step. And again, you can rotate the kind of low-leverage bullpen arms around a bit. But again, none of these are like you said, levers to pull or needle movers. This is the squad until the deadline. And then at the deadline, you can maybe see, hey, can we go get an extra bat? Can we go get an extra starter? But until then, I think this is the squad. The core is the core, and we've got to rely on that. I think there's a few things that could be done differently in terms of, I think Simpson's gotten into some really bad habits at the plate. At the start of the year, he was walking a bit more and hitting the ball on the ground more, which are the things that you need him to do. He's now hitting way more fly balls and being way more swing happy. You need him on base. He's only a weapon when he's on base. And a fly ball from him is always going to be an out because he can't hit it hard. And, a walk is as good as a bunt single, you know?
Right.
Like, so he needs to get out of those bad habits because he had a good start to the year where he was getting on base. And there's a few other things, like, I think, you know, we got to get back to when to bunt. We're not bunting as much. We've only stolen one base since June's turned over, and that was today.
That's not good.
That's not what this 2026 Rays team is supposed to be doing. Yeah. We need to be going back to being aggressive on the base paths. We need to learn to take our walks a little bit more. And you just got to get the fundamentals right, and the rest will take care of themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you were talking about Chandler, and I just kept thinking. Have you seen Squid Games?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in season two where the main character's like, I've played these games before. I'm just imagining that with Chandler Simpson and Kevin Kiermaier. It's like, you are so fast, Kevin. Just hit a single. Stop trying to hit home runs, Kevin. We love you so much. Please stop trying to hit home runs. I feel like that's what I said every single like episode back when Kevin was still on the team. Like, please stop trying to hit home runs. You are so good when you just get on base. And that's what I would say to Chandler. I think he got a couple of doubles, maybe a triple or two in there, and he got kind of hooked on those extra base hits. Brother, if you just get on base, you are a walking triple. You just like automatically get yourself to third most of the time.
So do you know where those doubles and triples come from? They don't come from fly balls into the gap. They come from like line drives down, not line drives, but like ground balls down the line.
Yes. Hard grounders past somebody, splitting the gap of the defense, whatever. Like that's what you do. And because all you need is for it to be getting through and it's a little misplay or it just gets by someone and all of a sudden you're on second or third. And that's what we need right now. We need to have guys on base so that when we get guys that are sort of our power guys, whether it's Valade, whether it's Junior, Ronda, and Yandy, guys need to be on base so they can drive them in. Now, we do also need those guys to drive people in, which there was a couple of – and like, listen, he's 22. But there was a few opportunities in this Marlins series for Junior to make things happen, and he just wasn't able to. And I'm not going to kill him for that. But like that is also like that's just part of baseball too. Like sometimes your all-star, awesome, face of the franchise guy is gonna get an opportunity and he's not gonna cash in.
Yeah,
and Aranda, more often than not, he is gonna cash in.
Yeah, Aranda as well. He's great, really good hitter, but I'd say once every 8 to 10 at bats, he'll turn up and have like the least competitive at bat of all time.
Yeah.
Like there'll be I'd say this happens maybe once a series, maybe twice a series. He'll turn up and immediately strike out like on three pitches,
I've seen a couple of those at bats. Yeah.
Yeah, where you'll take strike one, strike two, and then chase wildly for strike three. And then you go, okay, thanks, Aranda. Like again, not gonna dog on him for it too much because one, this is his second full major league season. And he's like, he had led all of MLB in WRC plus in the month of May. Like, he's great. Worthy of an all-star spot, I would say. Yeah. But like, again, occasionally you'll do that and he'll do that with runners in scoring position and you'll go, Aranda, come on. He's got to be like, you can't just not turn up for an at-bat sometimes.
Well, and again, when you feel like you're not getting as much production as you would hope to get from those other places in the lineup, when the big guys come around, it feels even more like there's even more pressure for them to figure it out. And so when the Rays were cooking earlier in the year, what was happening was pitchers were pitching around our top guys, and then the other guys were just being pesky. And a lot of times they were getting the RBIs, like Richie Palacios was getting the RBIs. Ryan Valade, Johnny DeLuca, they were getting the RBIs because pitchers had already pitched around somebody else, and that allowed an opening for them to drive a couple of runs in. And we just haven't been getting that recently. And I don't think it means we won't get it ever again. I don't think – we've said this a bunch of times. It's a long season. You're going to have bad stretches. It just feels bad because we felt like this was an opportunity for us to get some distance on the Yankees. And even more so because the Yankees played also pretty bad over this stretch as well. And you feel like, man, you could have gotten some distance there. But the reality is there's not really anybody else that we're like – worried about as far as like catching up to us. Everybody else is basically still exactly where they were, maybe a couple games, but like it's all kind of roughly where it was before. We're not sunk. We're not out of the playoffs or anything crazy. We're still over 10, like 10 plus games over 500. Still have, I believe, still technically have the best record in the American League.
Yeah, we do. Our win percentage is 597. The Yankees is 594.
Right. And so like, It feels a little doom and gloomy because it's been rough, but the reality is this is baseball. Other teams are also going to have struggles. And so this is where like we talk about like what do we hope to see going forward? I think, like you said, the big thing I'm looking for is can Chandler find a way to just sort of reset his mindset a little bit and go back to what he was doing earlier in the season? Can we find a way for some of these other guys to maximize their value a little bit? Does because Mullins be bunting more? He already he does it a decent amount, but like, can he?
Can I just say on Cedric Mullins real quick? He's fine.
He is fine. He has been pretty good, like pretty decent for a little while now.
So since May 1st, I believe Mullins has a like 105 WRC plus. Like he's been a major league average hitter since May 1st and also provide like not elite, but plus defense. He made a good catch today. And he got a bit unlucky today. He had a home run robbed today. Lest we forget to add to the rage bait of today's game.
Yeah.
So Mullins has been completely fine. Although you did
over this past week.
Yeah, he did rage bait me a little bit. Even though I don't think he meant to. In the ninth inning, it was a man on second, two out. Mullins came to bat. This was the one where he got called on that horrible strike three call. But on the first pitch, he squared up to bunt. And I was like, what are you doing? There's a runner on second, two outs in the ninth, and you squared up to bunt.
I was wondering, is he playing mind? Is he trying to play a game with the third baseman and get it? Because I saw because the third baseman did adjust to it and was starting to come in. I'm like, maybe he's hoping he can sneak one, you know, past the bag and get a double or something out. Like I was like, okay, because maybe if he had actually squared and like tried to bunt, I would have also been pretty mad. But I was sort of thinking maybe he's just trying to kind of mess with the third baseman a little bit, which like honestly, like is not a. Like, is I don't feel like that's a horrible strategy. Like, I mean, obviously, especially if you have the wherewithal to see a pitch that is sort of you can see it going out of the strike zone in a non-competitive pitch to do that. If you have the wherewithal to do that, I mean, more power to you to mess with the opposition. But it didn't end up working out because the ump, I think, had it in for the Rays and wanted that game to be over.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it was a good at-bat. He put together a good at-bat overall.
He was a great at-bat, and he deserved a walk for it, and he deserved a home run today.
That's tough.
I mean, Mullins, actually, since May 1st, is fourth. So it goes Junior, Yandy, Aranda, and then Mullins in terms of FWAR since
May 1st. How about that?
Yeah, so he's a completely fine player. He's, you know, out Warren Taylor Walls, Ryan Vallade, you know, all those guys. So... And Walls is, you know, he's getting war from his defense. So, like,
he is.
But I tell you what, it's just been an unlucky stretch. And you've just got to go back to give your head a wobble, go back to what made you good. And hopefully that'll help things out. And you know what always helps? You know what the basics are for me to have a good day?
Tell me about it.
Is to make sure that I'm dressed properly. And by dressed properly, I mean wearing my best fits.
Yes.
If I do that, I'm already starting the day on a good foot. Mm-hmm. You know, you know when you're wearing an outfit that you kind of just cobbled together and you're like, it's already, well, do you know what? I've got a place where you can always find a good fit, and that's shop.arbilarsports.com. Shop.arbilarsports.com has all the best apparel and merchandise for all the Tampa Bay sports team. You can represent the Rowdies, the Bucks, the Lightning, the Rays, the Sun. They're all there in one convenient shop. And that is shop.arbilarsports.com. And you can use the promo code Flappy, as in the Flappy Boys, those Rays. And you can get 10% off whatever your order is. So if you use that promo code FLAPPY, 10% off your entire order at shop.arbilarsports.com.
You know, confidence is just so important. And having that confidence of feeling put together, it changes your outcome. And maybe that's what the Rays need going into this next week. So let's try to instill some folks with some confidence and give out a bat and arm of the week.
Yeah, I think it's the usual suspects this week.
It is. I will say, starting with the bat of the week, it goes to Junior Caminero. He was once again great this week, 204 WRC plus over the course of the week, a home run. Has, you know, continued to look really, really good. He's currently hitting I believe it was a 149 WRC plus coming into the day, and it probably has changed over the course of the day, whatever. But I wanted to specifically give it to him because I just enjoyed seeing people dunk on all of the lazy takes that we saw at the beginning of the year that Junior was going to regress, to see him now literally being better as a hitter this year than he was last year. And the only reason he doesn't have a higher WAR is because he got the yips early in the season and just couldn't make throws. And so his defensive WAR is dragging him into the dirt right now. Otherwise he'd probably be a 2 or 3 WAR player. Junior's been awesome all season long. You know, we can pick out moments here or there where you'd like him to come through. But overall the 22-year-old face of the franchise is still awesome.
Yeah. I remember one of the main suspects on Twitter that I can't remember the name of was like, I'm still right. He's due to hit less home runs. And he's right. He is only due to hit 38, 39 home runs as opposed to 45 this year. So that's a shame for him. But otherwise, he would have a higher on base percentage by 0.7. He's due to have a higher WRC plus. He's currently like, yeah, on 147 for the year, which is way higher than his 129. He's got a higher walk rate. He's more than doubled his walk rate. He's cut his strikeout percentage down by almost 5%. Like, he is slightly hitting less home runs.
Yeah.
But otherwise, he's become a much better all-around hitter.
And I do not mean to toot my own horn, and it's still early in the season, but I did kind of call this. I did kind of say he's going to hit less home runs this year, but he's going to be a better hitter. And he has been. And a big part of that, like you just pointed out, is a great point, is he is taking his walks. He is not being impatient. When people are putting him on base, he is allowing them to do so. And so keep it up, Junior. Eventually the other folks will come around and it will all swing back into place. Don't be playing hero ball. That's not what we need right now. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. Love you, Junior.
Yeah. He is the most feared hitter in the league, I would say, right now, because he has seen the least amount of pitches in the strike zone.
It is crazy when you can just see even in games where the Rays are losing, you can just see pitchers be like, nah. They'd just be like, no, thanks, actually. I'm good.
Yeah. And if you want to go back and watch, I think there was an episode in the offseason. I can't remember if it was the junior player review or the infield preview episode. Yeah. It was one of those two. Mm-hmm. We spent probably about half an hour talking about why we believe Junior will be really good this year. So if you want to see those takes kind of age like a fine wine, then go back into the archive. They're all on YouTube. That's the easiest place to find them. And the best thing to do while you're there is subscribe to the YouTube page. Well done, Junior. Meanwhile, the arm of the week is definitely the usual suspect. It's our ace. It's our boy. It's Drew Rasmussen. Rasmussen locked in again. He was outstanding in game one of the Marlins series. Went 7 innings. Shutty was just unbelievable. He struck out a load of guys as well. I think he struck out 8 or 9 in that game. Really, really strong. Didn't walk anybody. Was super efficient. I think, if he wasn't, the way that he is with innings limits, I think some pitchers who had put together that line would have had been on complete game watch.
It was possible.
Yeah. The thing about Drew Rasmussen is he's always on complete game watch if he wasn't on his third Tommy John. He is just a joy to watch pitch because he's always so efficient. So efficient. He doesn't play with his food. He just comes right at you, attacks the zone. You can never get good contact off him. You just can't. And he's not usually a big strikeout guy, but he decided to switch that on against the Marlins. And yeah, it was just a delight. Maybe his best outing of the season. And that's, hard to pin down because he's been so good all year.
Yeah, I honestly think that his last batter of the 7th was kind of a long at bat. And he ended up going full, and he didn't end up getting him. But I kind of wonder if he had just, struck him straight out or he got a ground ball, maybe he could have gone back out there for the 8th. But I think after that sort of extended at-bat, they were like, all right, we're not going to push our luck here. But it was an absolutely phenomenal start. 9 strikeouts from Drew over 7 innings. It's what we needed. We needed him to put the stop on, to allow us to kind of get our feet back under us, get a win. And, he did what he was supposed to do and got that stop. It just was a shame that the Rays weren't able to put up enough runs over the next 2 games to kind of take advantage of that. But Drew did exactly what we love him for, which is he came in, he dominated efficiently, and just a fun pitcher to watch, man. I love watching Drew Rasmussen.
Oh, he's my favorite. Pitch. Ever since he makes the Willie Adames trade feel fine.
Yes.
That was a true,
I think, like both sides won. Like the Brewers got a very good shortstop and the Rays got a very good starting pitch. Like that was that worked out for everybody.
Yeah. And Rasmussen remains top 10 in the American League in WAR.
Yeah.
Amongst starting pitchers in the American League, kind of in the conversation with those like Brian Wu, Joe Ryan, Cam Schlittler, all those kind of guys. And I would love him to be an all-star again. That's kind of my my campaign. I think him and Nick Martinez both have cases. And I, then, of course, Junior. I think Junior's done enough to start at third base.
I think so, too. I think when you look at there, this is a great topic for as we get closer to the All-Star break, because I think we have quite a few guys. Yandy for sure could get votes. Aranda for sure should. And by the way, voting has started. So if you want those guys to be in the All-Star game, start voting, because that just started a couple of days ago. Start getting the votes in early, guys, because those, we have multiple guys that deserve to be out there. You could also make an argument for Baker and the bullpen going to the All-Star game as well. I mean, there's a bunch of guys. So, and that's the truth, is even though we've been through a bit of a frustrating stretch of baseball over the past 2 weeks, this is a good team. This is a team that's built well. It's built, it's gelled well as a group. They're going through a tough time right now, but I have faith in Cash's leadership to take them through this and to make them stronger at the end of this than they were at the start of it. And I don't know if they're going to turn around right away. It may still be some, it may still have to struggle a little bit, but I have confidence that they will eventually right the ship. And when they do, it's, you know, it's going to be back on the way we were going before.
100%. 100%. Just give your heads a wobble. I know we're going to Fenway next. Well, actually, we're going to Fenway next, aren't we? Or are we playing them at home? I can't remember. I think we're at home, actually. We're at home. We're at home.
We are.
So the Red Sox have struggled this year, real bad. This is our trop. We're good in the trop. Take it to them. Let this be the thing that turns it around. Okay.
Yes.
We've avoided Ranger Suarez, who's their best pitcher. Crochet's still on the IL. We can take advantage of the pitching. We're facing two lefties as well. Valade Brigade, rise up.
Yes.
Okay. And then we've got the Angels again. So hopefully that we can take advantage of them. We beat them 2 out of 3 last time. Let's do that again. And then we'll have a much better week to talk about.
I wish we could just take that little pep talk you just gave and just inject right into the Rays dugout. That's what we need. And hopefully when they do turn this around, you can join us right back here again next week to talk some more Rays baseball. Thank you guys for joining us. We're here no matter what. If it's a rough series, if it's a rough stretch, or if the Rays are playing the best baseball in the American League or anywhere in the league, it's going to be Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.